This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Sadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel. Welcome to yet another edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds, part of the Believe podcast, presented as always by Bet Online. The show is live streamed on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. I am joined, as always, tonight by Nick Kirby and Carlos Guevara and Red Superfan Jules. Before we get started, let me tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information for live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, guys. So a little earlier than expected to do our show tonight because Sandy Alcantara is incredible. He's really, really freaking good, and we kind of noticed that tonight, but we do have Miss Red Superfan on herself, just had her first opportunity to throw the ceremonial first pitch. Jules, not so cool Jules, as she's known on the social media. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm really bad at introducing myself, so bear with me, but yeah, how's everybody else doing? Mike Minor didn't lead us to a win, unfortunately, but what else do you expect?
Because Mike Minor's the GOAT. I thought we expect all the greatness.
I used to defend that man. That was a freezing cold take by me, and everyone's going to call me out for it. I'm waiting for it. But I, like, at the beginning when we got him, I defended him so much, and I don't know why. That's my worst take, so I tried.
If you're in this business, you're keen to have a really bad take at some point. It's just kind of how it works. You know, that's just how it goes. All right. So obviously with you on, we have a lot of questions that we want to get to. So be ready for the grilling session. And first things first, we've seen quite a bit. You've been on the television with signs like this. So yeah. How did you become the sign girl of Reds games?
It started from this sign. That's what started it all. I got on the screen a bunch in Cleveland that game. It was the first time I actually saw those two play each other in person. I always wanted to, and I finally got to. It rained like the first three innings. We did not show up to play. I was thinking about it earlier. I thought the score was 7-3, and then I saw that. I was like, no, it was 9-3. I must have just erased that from my head. But yeah, and then I got on TV from that, and I was on MLB Network too, like 2 days later for the signs, and they did a whole segment on it. So it low-key went viral, and then I kept doing it for Bowling Green football games, which is, like, really where it got the attention, because, I mean, it's MAC football. of course, I'm going to get on TV. I'm one of the five students there. So with a sign. And I did it for Cavs games. I did it for a few Reds games last season. I think like five or six. So I didn't really do it that much for them, but I have this season as well. And I actually brought that sign back. I printed like that picture you had out and then just made it a sign. So it was a sign of, you know what I mean? Me holding a sign of a sign.
Nice.
I love that. It was funny. It was my favorite.
Signception.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome. Bowling Green is amazing. I agree. I love BG. They actually had four wins.
Don't sell them short, Sydney. Come on.
Yeah. They beat Minnesota 14-10. Don't forget. I feel like every podcast I'm on, I always shout out Bowling Green somehow. It always happens. And that win specifically, best day of my life. Besides the besides the first pitch. Just to clarify.
The first pitch, what was it? Did you throw a strike?
Yeah, I would say so. My dad did a good job.
I don't like the way that you answered that. You're like,
It was a strike. So they told me, I said, do I have to pitch? I'm a very anxious person. And like going out in front of people like that, not my thing, believe it or not. Even though I like getting on screen all the time with signs. It's ironic. I don't really know. But so I was nervous and I was like, I just want to get it to the glove because I don't want to end up like 50 Cent and become a meme. So like, can I scooch up? Like, and they're like, yeah, most people do like pitch from the grass. So I had like 1 foot in the dirt and 1 foot in the grass. So I got it to the glove. That's all that matters. It was a strike.
Awesome. Who caught it?
My dad did.
Oh man, what a memory. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
I asked, I was like, so do I get to choose who catches it? And they said, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm definitely doing my dad because he's part of he's the biggest reason I'm a Reds fan. So we grew up watching games together. The only two people in my family that care this much about the Reds. And I was like, I want to make this special for him too. So that was my
That's favorite. Awesome. Is he watching tonight?
He probably did not watch tonight. I'm going to be honest.
Dang it. Shout out Jules' dad. Maybe hear this tomorrow.
Like, he probably doesn't even know how to do this at all. There's no way. He doesn't even know how to like stream Reds games because we have Hulu.
Well, just tell him we were talking about him, will you?
All right. Yeah. I'll give him a shout out. I'll text
the tens of people out there.
I was talking about you on a podcast and he'll probably be like, what's that?
I think Mark Mallory set the bar pretty low for first pitches. So it's
decent.
If you outstage Mallory, you really did something. You'd have to really try.
The all time best part of Mallory is still Eric Davis's reaction. Cause he looks pissed off. Like that's still the best part of it.
I mean, a quick breakdown, that's pretty good form. You have the glove hand up high by the chest, like you're pulling it in, and you're right here. I mean, that's what you want to teach to the youngsters. So great job, Jules.
Not bad for someone who didn't play baseball, but I played softball and as a pitcher, so I had some bit of an idea how to.
Yeah, but that's the whole other direction.
Yeah, it's like a whole other thing. I was like,
you did good. You did good.
Are there Statcast numbers on this?
If anyone would know, it'd be you.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I'll see if I can find anything. All right, Jules. So you are a self-proclaimed Reds and Guardians fan. So I live in Cleveland. So tell me how this works.
So I'm sure it's obvious. I'm a bigger Reds fan. I tweet about the Reds more, and it's weird because they're worse. But hey, we won in Cleveland. Just saying. But I started liking the Cavs when I got older. And then I was like, well, not into football at the time, like when I was 15. And then I was like, who am I going to like? For some reason, I decided to go the Cleveland route. And only because they went 0-16. And I thought that was awesome because then I can't expect much from them. And when they win, it's a bigger deal. So I was like, yay, Browns. But then I'm like, I don't know. Like football, yeah. Baseball and basketball are like my sports. So then I was like, you know what? I don't hate the Guardians. So it was hard for me to hate them because I love Cleveland, like the city in general. So I was just like, why not like both? Not even in the same league. I mean, they only play each other like four times. Like the only time it's ever going to matter is in the World Series. And let's be honest, it's never going to happen, at least in my lifetime. That's never going to happen. I hope not, because that's too stressful for me.
They need to have an odd number of games though. So the Ohio Cup can go somewhere. So just staying there on a tie. That's dumb.
Yeah, literally.
Like the Ohio Cup is important. Tell them, Nick.
Yeah, the biggest deal. Well, my next question was actually going to be, like, I don't really feel like there's really any rivalry like between Cleveland today. I feel like it's very forced when people try to do it. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I go to those games, it's just like you'll see people all the time who are like, oh, like when I had that sign, people are like, oh, same. Like they liked both. Like they didn't care. They didn't hate Cincy or they don't like Reds don't hate Cleveland. I actually had a, which is weird for opening day when we played them this season. I had a harder time in Cincinnati because I had a Cleveland hat on, but I had this jersey and then the sign. And more people gave me, am I allowed to cuss? More people gave me shit in Cincinnati than they did in Cleveland when I was wearing the same thing. And I was like, wait, I am one of you guys. Like, I like you more.
I can attest to that because there was a couple years ago, my buddies and I went out for Halloween and we decided to go to downtown Cincy. And I did the full on Wild Thing gear, like had the glasses, had the full jersey, you name it. I can send you guys pictures of it. Don't worry.
Please do.
Can't wait.
And so like my buddies all went out and they were all dressed as the Machine and they were like, hey man, why don't you come hang out with us? I was like, all right, cool. So like I'm walking around with the Big Red Machine as Ricky Vaughn and everyone's like, oh, hell yeah, go Reds. They see me and like, fuck the Indians. And I'm like, guys, it's a costume. Like, come on. First off, it's Major League. If you don't like that movie, you're wrong. Right. Second, I was like, it's just a costume. And third, it's Charlie Sheen who plays the character who's a diehard Reds fan. So I'm actually winning.
Yeah, I mean, no one really gave me crap in Cleveland, but like for football, it's definitely opposite. Like when I came down here in my Browns jersey, but I had a like Go Ohio sign. So like Bengals fans were like, oh, okay, like she doesn't hate us. Like they were so nice. Bengals fans were so nice. But if I hear anything from like other teams visiting Cleveland, like their fans, they talked about how Cleveland fans are just not nice. Even Bengals fans down in Cincinnati, when I was talking to them about it, they're like, yeah, like usually like fans, away fans here have a decent time. But if you go to Cleveland as an away fan, especially Bengals or Steelers or Ravens, like you're not, they're not very nice.
Does the sun shine in Cleveland?
Not sometimes. Often.
In the summer.
Like the 2 months of the summer.
Yeah.
I my wife's family lives up there. So I'll go up for a Cavs game every so often. I love going up for Cavs games. I think that arena rules. It's awesome.
Yes. It's so loud. Oh my God, this past season was amazing. I know this is baseball, but I love the Caps.
I'll never turn down a trip to Mabel's Barbecue right there by the arena.
Oh,
sign me up every time.
I have a friend that works there.
Can they sponsor us?
Yes, I'm sure a Cleveland Barbecue will sponsor a Cincinnati Reds show.
Well, that's where Jules comes in. Jules can be like, look, these guys are awesome. And
yeah, as the like negotiator between the city.
I mean, yeah. Tim's the only real one here from like Cincinnati hometown. You're in Cleveland, Nick. I'm in San Antonio. Like,
no Cavs. Yeah. Thoughts on
Jules? You got any thoughts on the famous Sam Weich? Is it Weich? How do you say it?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Public address?
I don't think so.
You know what that is?
Who that is?
Sam Weich is the old Bengals coach. They were playing the Seahawks in '88. And fans were throwing beers onto the field. So he grabbed the PA mic and said, whoever, if you see anyone throwing him, point him out and get him thrown out. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
Oh, I kind of remember seeing that, now. But I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it was before any of us were born. So
yeah, I was like, who's?
Excuse me?
Carlos, I'm being nice, okay?
Somebody asked a good question.
All right, Jules, who's your least favorite player on the Reds?
Well, they're both gone, so I don't know who's watching. I gotta be quiet about that. But anybody I didn't really like too much actually just got traded. So,
not Tyler Naquin, right?
Tommy Pham.
You can say that. We can all Chandler on this podcast. Yeah. Everybody else, be nice. Tommy Pham, go ahead, let it eat.
Yeah, Tommy Pham. We're gonna stop there.
Uh-oh, Miss Kirby's chiming in, Carlos.
Oh, buddy.
When I was hanging out with Nick's family, I learned so much about Andrea's love for Cleveland sports, and it made me like her even more. So she's my favorite Kirby in the household now. Sorry, Nick.
Yes. Go Cleveland.
Nick's like in third, maybe fourth place.
Man. Or Emma and Charlie.
My alarm's going off. My bad.
All right. Well, there was a baseball game tonight. It went very quick. We actually started at our normal time when the Reds don't have a game on this day. That's how quick it went. So the Reds do lose 3-0 to Miami. They do win the series. They win the season series as well. And the first time they've been shut out since June 10th, they do have their four-game win streak snapped. Annie Sabo does not have to go through those things again if they win 5 in a row. So that's good news for her. But I think the story here is obviously Sandy Alcantara, who is freaking awesome. I've seen him pitch like 2 or 3 times on TV, but like watching him pitch against my team where I'm like really paying attention is really impressive. You know, obviously Joey does go 2 for 3, so that's a plus. He does try to leg out a double, which I actually thought he had a shot at first, and then he got beat to the bag by a
foot.
And
then he rounded first, and he was out.
Yeah, first I like saw it. I was like, oh, okay, he might have a shot. And then JJ Bleday was like, buddy, I have an arm. I was like, oh, touche, you do. But Jules, get your thoughts on what you might have seen from this game, where this team might be at now at 42 and 62. Still play pretty decent ball since that 3-22 start. And oh, hey, by the way, we're above the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yay! Okay. I hate Pittsburgh. I hate
me
Pittsburgh.
Too! Oh, my God! She's a regular now. All right, Jules stays.
Yay. I have so much hate for Pittsburgh. So honestly, even if I don't even care about this season at this point, as long as we're above Pittsburgh, I don't have much to say about this game. Not much happened. It was a shutout. Shout out Joey Votto. He was 2 for 3.
How did Barrero look today? I saw his first AB when he struck out, well, but the rest of them
looked about like everyone else.
Yeah.
Sandy Alcantara, I don't really.
How about that? Like, you struggle in AAA.
Someone who could possibly win the Cy Young. So,
how do the Marlins only have, I mean, with him and Jorge Lopez?
Yeah.
That's like, they can't get 2 wins a week.
It's kind of bad.
Well, sometimes you give up 2 runs and you still lose. So,
that's true. Yeah. That's very true. Especially for them.
That guy, I mean, Alcantara, I've seen him pitch several times, and he's nasty. He's so big and lanky, and he throws so hard, and it's even harder because he's closer to the plate than most pitchers are, kind of like Hunter Green is. There's a lot of comparisons there. You know, their windup is the same. Their delivery is pretty much the same. They throw from the same arm angle. It's the only thing – that bothered me tonight that I saw. I turned on the game late and I heard, you know, Cowboy talking about pitching to contact. I've heard other people talk about pitching to contact. Pitching to contact is okay whenever you're just a dude. These guys aren't just dudes. This is like a Cy Young Award winner. And he's not like throwing the ball and saying, hey, I hope they put this in play. I hope they put this in play. They want them to miss the ball every single time. Graham Ashcraft, he wants them to miss the ball every single time. He's not hoping they put the ball in play. Not one pitcher who throws a baseball is hoping that the ball gets put in play. So pitching to contact, that's a very sensitive term. And I'm not a big fan of it because no pitcher ever wants to have a ball put in play. But what they're trying to say is throw strikes, throw strikes, throw strikes. And that's the most important thing. You throw strikes, and you're throwing 98, 99, 100 miles an hour. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of ground balls. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of easier outs. And it's just pitching to contact, that phrase bothers me so much. It's more about just throwing strikes with your good stuff and trusting it and letting the results happen. Rant over.
Thanks. I like
coming to my TED Talk.
Agreed.
I enjoy your TED Talks, Carlos. So this is, I was grateful for that. Also,
easy Sidney Price, easy.
Worth pointing out. Yeah. Worth pointing out. Thank God that the St. Louis Cardinals traded Alcantara
because, and Zach Gallen.
Yeah, because otherwise this would not be a fun division with having those guys on there in their rotation.
It's not fun right now, Tim.
I'm, you know, angels in the outfield, Carlos.
I got you, buddy. I got you.
That's next clip of
the next game is on Apple TV.
Yeah, dog.
Reds have a whole slew of games that we'll get to at the end of the show that are on national TV in the next week. Like half the game, Half the games are on national TV. You'll have to stay tuned to see.
Always yeah. be promoting, my buddy old Clay says.
Absolutely. All right. So, kind of real quick, you know, Jules, you already said that as long as they finished above the Pirates, you're happy, which I'm right there with you. That could be our podcast. Tim and Jules hate Pittsburgh. So, yes. Can that be our.
That's producer, a spinoff.
I'll say producer Nick, can that be our sideshow?
Yeah.
And so what are you kind of looking forward to slash expecting remainder of the season from this team? You know, obviously, you know, I still believe that they have a chance to not lose 100 games, even with the trades, but, you know, they're only 38 away, so.
Well, I think one positive thing about this season is that tickets are relatively cheaper. That's what I really like. That's why I've been to 35 games compared to like the 5 I usually go to. But granted, I just moved here. Ooh, this is intimidating looking at just myself. But
I don't like it either.
Yeah, I'm like, oh no. I don't know. I'm excited to see what we can do. Hopefully get some of the younger players up in Louisville. Like, not, Kino's not younger, but I like seeing Barrero, obviously not against somebody as good as Sandy, preferably. I don't think we should judge him on that. And before anybody says, I'm not anti him at shortstop or anything, just because I love Kyle Farmer. But, no, I like seeing Kyle Farmer play.
Hashtag Jules loves Farmer.
I hope both teams have fun. Also, shout out Kyle Farmer for liking my tweet and then unliking it. Kind of rude.
Which one? What was the tweet? What did he say?
So somebody brought up a good point, low-key. So I tweeted, let me find the screenshot, because yeah, I did. I tweeted, defending Kyle Farmer is a full-time job for me, and this man doesn't even know I exist. He liked it. And then I posted the screenshot, and the screenshot of me flipping out got like 500 likes, only for him to unlike it. I love Kyle Farmer. So Kyle, if you ever see this, I'm sorry for whatever I did. I'm like, oh, you're not gonna sleep tonight. I'm gonna be like, Kyle Farmer hates me. This is the beginning of my villain origin story. Everything is downhill.
It's your heel turn. Yeah, this is your heel turn.
Pretty much. I don't hope anybody has fun anymore. Especially Kyle Farmer.
Oh no.
Well, Nick, did you want to touch anything before we get out of here with Jules?
What was your thoughts kind of on what the Reds did here at the trade deadline?
I'm excited. I mean, like, yeah, it'd be nice to, like, get something in return now, but I'm glad we're finally just rebuilding and not, like, half-ass rebuilding, but, like, we're going to just implode and just get rid of all the stuff, everybody, and getting prospects. So in 2 to 3 years, which I don't think we're going to be that bad next year. I think we're going to be, like, middle of the pack, better than this year, which doesn't take much. But I think in 2 to 3 years, we're going to be pretty good.
Respect.
I don't think it's going to take as long as what people say. I'm not saying, like, a World Series win. I'm just saying making the playoffs at least by 24, 25. Not next year. It's not happening.
Never say never.
Never say never.
You never know.
The Bengals were projected to win 6 games, went to the Super Bowl.
This is true. The Cavs weren't predicted to be good this past season. And they're like, why are we calling all these tall guys? They're calling us the Cleveland Trees. Hey, they did way better than what everybody thought they would. So I don't think we should count the Reds out.
You won't find anyone who loves Evan Mobley as much as I do. Trust me.
You won't find anybody who loves Kevin Love as much as I do.
That's probably fair. Yeah, that's probably extremely accurate.
Jules, before we get you out of here, last question for you. Good question here. I wanted to get your thoughts. Did you have a favorite prospect that the Reds got back? Anyone in particular that you're looking forward to?
I don't know. I have my little notes here because we got a lot of people.
Sorry to put you on the spot. But
probably Spencer Steer. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I said that right. I don't want to butcher anybody's name, but I'm pretty excited for him. I've heard good things about him. I'm
Just sent to Louisville.
A lot of young guys. Like
just sent to Louisville, so he'll be here pretty quick.
Yeah, I was like, I'm excited for him, mainly because I know he's going to be here pretty quickly. Did anybody else get sent to Louisville? Or is everybody in like Tennessee, Dayton, or Daytona? I think
he's the only one in Louisville. I think everyone else is.
I was like, I think he was the only one, but I didn't know like who all. Actually, I don't know where anybody is.
Christian and Carnacion. I like look up their ages and like,
that Chattanooga lineup is
They're fun. They're pretty fun. Well, Jules, this was so cool. Thank you for taking about half hour to hang out with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before we get you out of here, I know everyone already knows where to find you, but for those who don't, shout out to socials so people can interact with the red sign girl.
Yes, the best. The best sign girl. The only one, too. So it doesn't take much.
All right, well, thanks, Jules. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Our trade deadline recap here. We've talked about this. I know we had two past back-to-back shows about this, but overall, I mean, between the Seattle, Minnesota, and San Diego trades, I think they did a really good job. I think that they really kind of put a lot together. They really rebuilt that gap between the low levels of the minor leagues and the major league roster in and of itself. You know, I talked a part about yesterday about being pretty excited about Christian Encarnacion Strand, and now he's in AA Chattanooga with Ellie De La Cruz. So I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of bombs there throughout the rest of the year. Really, really like what I've seen from Victor Acosta. I really like his swing. Was it Reds fan Brandon on Base Machine also was, I think, posted some videos yesterday of his swing that I saw, and I was pretty impressed with how quick it is. So really, really excited. And then you see the pipeline kind of, the Reds really kind of rebuilding the system, like I mentioned. You know, seven of the guys that they got in trades are now already in their top 30, including Noelvi Marte taking the number one spot and Arroyo and Spencer Steer going into the top 10. But over Jay Allen and Chase Petty and Rhys Hines, guys that we've talked about being pretty excited about already through a while now. So what are you guys kind of overall big picture, not just our instant reactions, having a couple of days to think about each move, what are you guys taking away?
Man, I just think that the system is in such a good place right now. I mean, that's not even including all the guys that they got in March as well. So, I mean, look, half the prospect list is new guys that have been brought in. You know, I mean, look, we're definitely, you know, set up for some rough days here, the end of the year, probably, you know, some rough days next year. But I think the Reds are set up much better than I can remember for a long time, at least to have a chance to have a team that is good for a while. And, you know, when they do lose players, you know, like when they trade a Jesse Winker or whatever, it doesn't tank their season. Like, I hope the Reds can get to a spot here where they can trade a Josh Hader when they're in first place and still be able to, you know, sustain that. And I think that's kind of what they're doing here.
Yeah, I agree with Nick. They've done step one. Step one of probably 8 to 10 steps they need to take to get in the right direction. So well done, Nick Kroll. From what I can see on Twitter, it's really the only social media app I have. People are saying, good job, Nick Kroll. Even the guys that totally bashed him and were against him like 30 minutes ago. It's hard to say he didn't do a good job on getting returns for what he gave up. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm hopeful for it. I mean, I'm even next year, because these guys just because they're prospects doesn't mean they're going to stay with the Reds. They can be dealt this winter for somebody who's, you know, can make a difference in the team next year right away. They're going to have a lot of money to spend. So, I mean, odds are they're probably going to wait till at least 24 to do it, but who knows? I think it was a pretty good week for the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look, say whatever you want about the direction the Reds went in. They went in this direction, and once you're here, as you know, we've seen some comments already. Once you're here, you gotta commit to it. And hey, they didn't add Mike Moustakas' contract to anyone. They went for it at the deadline. The moves that were made were about as good of returns as I think anyone could have asked, probably better than anyone could have asked
yeah.
for. So, hey, we're here. You know, I'm excited for the future here. I did want to ask each of you guys, because we did get a question earlier. I mean, let's probably not do the number one prospect, but who's your favorite player that the Reds got back?
I think I've talked about it already quite a few bit in the last few days. It's Encarnacion Strand.
You stole it.
I just, you know, the power is really impressive. The home run hitting ability. Also, the fact that he consistently gets on base. He doesn't walk as high, but it also seems like he makes enough contact where the walk rate is not where I'm super worried about him. But this is pretty, yeah, he seems like he's going to be a really fun player. So I am excited to see if/what he does in the Red system.
I'll take Levi.
I have no idea. Yeah. I'm taking Levi. I want to say Spencer Steer. He was the one who was in the Futures game, right?
Yep.
I'm going Spencer Steer.
Yeah, going
to
be.
I've yet to see a single video of him, but come on, Spence.
He might be on the Major League roster like September call-ups.
He's probably an injury away from
yeah
getting a call-up. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. So we'll go to our trade deadline predictions that got very controversial.
Here we go.
Got very controversial.
Nick can't even hold a straight face because he knows he's a cheating mother.
I mean, just because like you guys weren't willing to risk.
I had a clean slate. I had a clean slate. That's all I can say.
Except for missing on two people that got traded.
I mean,
yes. You didn't even predict Tommy Pham would get traded, and you want to act like you're the champion? Come on now.
Are you going to do promo miss right now?
What's that?
You didn't even have Tommy Pham.
I didn't. He's the only one I missed. You missed Tyler Mahle. Come on, man.
You had Kyle Farmer. He did not get traded.
Yeah, why would you think Kyle Farmer was getting traded? What a dumb pick. Oh, my God. That's the heart and soul of the team. He's the captain. Are you kidding me? Do you even Reds, bro?
Reds third baseman Kyle Farmer. What am I doing?
This year, this trade deadline little game does not count. This was an exhibition year. This was bullshit.
See a lot.
Mrs. Kirby, give me the thumbs up if you agree. I know you're listening. I know you agree.
I don't know if Nick or Carlos muted Carlos there, but
moving on.
Yeah, let's talk about this, baby. Nick Lodolo, Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft. Impressive as hell these last couple starts. Seeing them kind of rack up innings. Graham Ashcraft has now had what, two games where he's gone over eight innings? Eight or more. So that's pretty awesome his rookie year. It seems like Carlos, he really pitches to contact. He's only had three strikeouts.
He definitely does. That's because he doesn't have stuff that's good enough to have the swing and miss. Which hopefully he can develop, which we'll get into later on with a question that we have.
But
in our buddy Jace.
In his defense, he's not walking anyone. And, you know, if you're not walking anyone, your margin for error with missing bats and strikeouts is a lot higher. He has a really impressive walk rate. I think it's like 2.10 for a rookie. That's ridiculous. So, I can't be more impressed with him and how it seems like every night he's like got 65 pitches into the seventh inning. It's like you don't see that kind of stuff from a rookie. He throws strikes, he pumps them in, he's not afraid, and he's not giving up a ton of home runs either. So,
yeah, he manages people.
He definitely bought into the fact that with pitching coach and other pitchers and other coaches, minor league coaches saying, trust in what got you there. You're going to be fine. Just throw strikes. And that's what he's doing, because that's one of the toughest things. I'm not comparing myself to Graham Ashcraft, but I struggled with that. I didn't walk anybody in the minor leagues. And I got to the big leagues and I was like, oh shit. Never in my life have I ever worried about somebody getting hits off of me or whatever. But for some reason, I screwed myself and I started to pinch. And that's a real thing that happens with a lot of people. But Graham did a great job of trusting his stuff and trusting people around him, saying, throw strikes. Your stuff is good enough to get major league hitters out. Go out there and do it. And that's what he's doing, because Lord knows he doesn't know which way the ball's going. He doesn't know if it's going to cut 2 inches or six, or if it's going to sink one or four. Like, it's all over the place, but it's all within the strike zone is what it appears to a hitter. And that's the only thing that counts, or it matters. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we saw with Nick Lodolo, who was a guy that never walked anyone, came up and struggled to throw strikes. And he's been really much better with that lately. But yeah, I mean, no one believes in Grant Ashcraft more than Graham Ashcraft. And that's fun to watch. It is fun to watch a dude that comes out and he believes in his stuff and he trusts it. And yeah, he's not going to beat himself. And I think that's pretty cool. But yeah. we do got to talk about the other two guys. I mean, look at those numbers if you're watching. Like, I made this graphic and I had to like double check it like 8 times. Like, I'm missing something, right? Like, that's just unbelievable.
Well,
no home runs in
who have they pitched
four starts.
The Marlins.
That's what I was going to actually ask, and not in the disrespectful way, but kind of get Carlos's thought. Are you more kind of impressed with Green because he did face the Marlins twice in a row, but the fact that the things that he didn't, like, where he kind of nitpicked in the first game, it caused him to lose that one inning. He didn't have any of that. So the fact that he made those adjustments the second time around, was able to get those guys out and even be better than the first time when he was really good, is that kind of something that really, like, impresses you a little more?
No, because just in watching the game, it was more of him just being him. Like, whenever he struggled, he got outside of his norm, and he got dialed back in. And he's too good of a pitcher for a lineup like Miami. So I don't know. We'll see. I pay more attention to these outings whenever they're playing like the Cardinals or the Brewers, maybe not the Brewers, but other teams that can hit. Like, that's what I really want to see. Cause he's, facing lineups like what the Marlins have right now. That's not to be too disrespectful, but that's a little bit better than a Triple-A team. He dominated, like, that's what we expect from somebody who's going to be a phenom. So we'll see what he does when he pitches against, a little bit better teams here coming along when we face the Brewers and the Cardinals more here in the second half. But it's still exciting. He's, like Nick has said 100 times, he's young. He's at a position that most people have never been in their lives at this age. So it's encouraging. There's a lot to be hopeful for.
I guess I'll sort of play devil's advocate in the sense that I did kind of see, like, I understand it's the Marlins, and I understand, they're not, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton aren't on that team by any means. But, to see, like, he kind of went out there and he was like, all right, I pitched really well the first time, but this is where I kind of got lost the game for a minute. And then, goes out to their place the week later, makes the adjustments necessary to get them out and pitches really well. So I totally get where you're coming from, and I don't disagree with you by any means, but I do think it's kind of, exciting in the sense of seeing like the development and growth of like, all right, this is where they got me last time. I'll figure it out this time.
It is. But yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. He does do that. And that shows great maturity, and, people around him can see that and feed off of that. So that's a really good sign that he can do that. And you got to, that's how you make your money. You make your money by putting up performances against teams that you should dominate. You don't make your money pitching against the Yankees. You don't make your money pitching against, the Padres now. Like, you got to beat the guys who you're supposed to beat and that you're supposed to be better than. That's how you make your money, and that's how you become great, if you beat the guys that you're supposed to beat.
And then how come Garrett Cole makes a lot of money? Because he can't beat the Reds. Well, man!
He hasn't done too well in big moment games. I didn't realize he was as bad as he was.
He looked terrible today. Oh, my God, he was terrible today.
I saw his playoff numbers. I was like, holy cow, that was not what I was expecting to see. Whatever. I'm not talking about Garrett Cole.
More to the, Hunter Green. He also, remember, earlier in the year, got absolutely just annihilated by the Brewers and then came back next start against them and made the adjustments and pitched well. So Yeah, I definitely think we're seeing that. We need a really good question I wanted to get to Carlos on. I was wondering what Carlos thinks of Ashcraft working exclusively out of the stretch. This is from We Are Penn State Reds.
That's something that started to happen like whenever I was in college. People first started to do that, like starters. And if you break down the mechanics of a windup, you know, that's what people, you know, come to. You turn to the side if you're nobody on base. You turn your shoulders. You do all this other stuff. None of that stuff matters. That's just a rhythm to get you to the position to where you're upright. Your left leg, as a right-handed pitcher, your left leg is up. You're separating from the glove. That's all the same point. So you can come from the stretch to do that. Whatever makes you feel better to throw, it's not going to make him throw any less harder. So it's whatever the comfort level is for them. That's what works best. They seem to have more control. You know, it's all, or most of it is mental. Just whatever you can do to repeat your delivery, all for it. Cool.
So this came up today, and I know it's made a lot of people happy. Charlie Goldsmith, friend of the program, tweeted out with permission that David Bell said Jose Barrero is going to play quite a bit of shortstop going forward, and Kyle Farmer will likely get the bulk of his time at third base, which answered a question I had yesterday of now that Brandon Drury's gone, who's playing third most days. So obviously it's the farm dog. You know, we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, so I don't know how much we have to really deep dive into it, but this is the right choice of where the team's at, where he is. I know he didn't look too good at the plate today, but, you know, like we said, he kind of went against the Cy Young candidate. So I think this is the right move. I'm excited to see him kind of get majority at-bats and kind of get everyday at-bats. But
excuse me, Juan Soto's coming up to bat. You guys got it for the next 2 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. But also, this is hilarious because all last year we consistently had this conversation. Now that conversation of 12 months of his fight means nothing.
Just tell me when Brandon Drury's coming up. But yeah, no, I mean, hey, we're going to have a heck of a infield defense on the left side.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. I think Farmer could be a really, really good defensive third baseman. So that'll be cool. I don't know if Farmer's got the bat to stick at third base, but this year, you know, hey, I think, you know, he deserves some playing time. And but yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't really matter what you think about Jose Barrero and his potential. I'm still optimistic about him, but
me too.
Reds have to see what they got with him. They have to see what they got, and they can't really wait around too long because they've got 67,000 other shortstops, you know, that are probably going to be, you know, Matt McClain. I know Sean.
He homered tonight.
He did homer tonight.
You know, Pender said in an interview a couple days ago that they're pushing him, and the way he worded it made me think that Matt McClain's got a really good chance to maybe make the opening day roster next year. It was kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but definitely I think he's in the plans to be on the big league team at some point next year if he, you know, continues to progress. So yeah, this is the time for Barrero. And I think he'll have every opportunity because I think that of the crop of shortstops, all the way out until like Arroyo, which is, you know, probably like a 2025 ETA, Barrero probably profiles as the best defensive shortstop. So if he hits, it'll be his position and they'll probably move other guys around him, but he's got to hit. So, you know, hopefully he takes it and runs with it and forces guys into other positions, because if he's forcing guys into other positions, Reds are going to be fielding a really, really good defensive team.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's going to be something that really kind of goes a long way for them. I still stand by for the future. Jonathan Engie to third base. #
I think I'd like India more in like left field or first base, to be honest.
He doesn't have a first base. He's tiny.
He's like a half inch shorter than Joey.
No way. You're crazy.
And he's got the hair to give him some.
Yeah, he's got the lettuce.
He's no first base. Stop that. Oh,
I don't know. Yeah. I'm a pretty optimistic guy, but I don't think Jonathan is a good defensive second baseman or third baseman. I feel like I've seen
him. I don't think his arm is strong enough to play in the outfield. I don't think he can cover enough ground to be an outfielder, and he doesn't hit for enough power to be a corner outfielder. Unless he bulks up. I think third base is probably his best. Power. Who?
Deion Sanders played left field. He didn't have power.
He wasn't a very good baseball player.
I mean, Indy had 21 home runs last year.
He's got 7 in basically a shortened season so far.
Oh, okay.
28 home runs in 200 games. It's not terrible.
Not terrible, yeah.
No, it's not. You're right. But he doesn't have a good enough arm, and he cannot cover enough ground. He would be a defensive liability, more of a defensive liability, I think, in one of those corner positions than he would be at third base or second base. I think one of these more athletic shortstops would project to be better in the outfield than what India would be.
I can see that.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a bad opinion whatsoever. But it's like Nick said, like if they get in a situation with all these guys where it's like they are able to play multiple positions, then maybe the Reds have a really good defensive future, which I don't know, like what the 2012 team was really good defensively, but I don't remember like one since then that really just blew me away defensively by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have one year where like Cozart and Hamilton were both really good. And I mean, I think they pretty much were like all the defensive run saves just between the two of them. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely been an issue for the Reds for the last decade plus. So I'm really glad to see them address it. And I mean, look, you can also be creative with India. You know, you don't have to say, you know, hey, we move him to third base, but maybe he plays third base, you know, 60 games and he DHs the other games, you know? So like, you don't have to, you don't have to pencil him into one position. I don't think the Reds are going to be penciling. I think the Reds are trying to get away from penciling guys into one position, which I think is the way to go. More Cronenworths.
You mentioned Billy. Did you hear what Cowboy said about him tonight during the game when he tried to lay down that bunt?
No.
So he like tries to, like, it's like the seventh inning, I think. He tries to like lay down a bunt single and he's out by a mile. Like just bunts it right at the pitcher. I can't remember who was on the mound at the time. And Cowboy goes, yeah, he tried to do that all the time when he was here. He just never really could get it down.
That's amazing how he can't bunt well.
That was like my go-to move in MLB The Show with Billy Hamilton. I just always was like, he's got a 99 speed. Okay.
Speaking of Cowboy, I have got a video clip and I wanted to get Carlos's opinion on it.
You look at the guys that the Reds are getting back, not only in this trade, but all of the trades. I think it builds up the competition throughout your minor league system. Think about this. Ellie De La Cruz is no longer the number one prospect in our organization. I guarantee you he takes that personally.
Carlos, what's your thoughts on that about, you know, all these guys that the Reds are getting and, you know, maybe it pushing guys like De La Cruz and McClain with the added competition?
Competition is always there in the minor leagues because even within your own team, you want to win a game, but you've got guys that are trying to take your position. They want to be in the big leagues before you are. The guys below you, there's always competition. And, you know, he makes a good point to where there might be a little bit more, but these guys aren't being driven by who's the number one prospect, who's the second prospect. For him to throw that much of a guarantee on that, I don't agree with that. Not even in the slightest, because Ellie De La Cruz has bigger dreams than who's the number one prospect. His sights are set for the major leagues. He could care less who's number one, number two, number three. He's just trying to be the best hitter that he can be, best player that he can be, and get there as fast as he can get there. And everything else will sort itself out. It's these the prospect things. You hear them a lot during the minor leagues, and they chat about it. But there's 37 different prospect lists. Like, who's making these lists? I've said that 100 times. Like, whatever.
The same people who make like mock drafts.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you do fantasy football, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo. There's different lists. Got different guys are numbered from 3 to number 10. They're all different. So it's just a made up list that people want to go by. And I don't think there's much to that at all.
Yeah. Speaking of, don't draft Christian McCaffrey. Learn your lesson after 2 years.
I'm taking him number one.
I think Carlos picks really good points there.
All right, another video. I want to get Carlos's reaction to this.
Donovan Solano was a name that nationally was written about as a possible trade piece. Was there interest there? Did you think about dealing him?
We had interest in other players on our team. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, just because we kept a player here instead of trading them for a prospect, we have them here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Donovan Solano is a really talented player. But he's also a very good player with the younger players, the very good in the clubhouse. Mike Minor, guys like that, people call and they have interest, but we do feel this player can help other players develop, and that's also a part of this equation. We need players that can continue to help our impact players or impact younger players grow, and we need to be able to put good veteran presences around them on the field.
So, Carlos, what did you think about that with
You know what that means, right, Nick?
No.
This is the bull. This is the shit. No chance. He's just saying that because they kept him. They couldn't move him. Solano, if he would have played all year, he would have probably brought more back than what Brandon Drury brought, or equal to, because that man can mash. He can hit. If he would have been healthy, they would have moved him. Holy cow, the Padres just hit a homer. Grand slam. Brandon Drury, let's go!
Was it Drury?
Yep.
That's awesome.
But anyway.
It'll be so good when he comes back to the Reds in July. Yeah, like in January.
Don't try to throw Mike Minor being a leader in the clubhouse for these guys to look up to. No, stop it. They didn't play well enough. They weren't healthy enough for them to move. That's the whole idea of bringing them in. I mean, how much older is Solano than the rest of these guys? How much more experience does he have than the rest of these guys?
He's 34.
Like, but how much big league experience to the rest of the infield? Like
638 games.
Like that's who he's going up. Like, is he going to teach Jonathan India something? I don't think so. Is he going to teach Kyle Farmer something? I don't think so. Is he going to teach Joey Votto something? I don't think so. Like, who is he going to mentor?
Me.
I think that was just, he did a good job of, like, you know, we were wanting Crawl to speak better in front of the camera, in front of the microphone. He did a good job there. But I'm here to tell you, that's bullshit.
You don't think there's any value to having, you know, any veterans?
Well, veterans, yes, but... Like, he's not considered a veteran that you're going to go over there and, hey, teach me your ways. Let me know how you did, how you're so successful. He's more of a journeyman.
Yeah, like who's the catcher they got from St. Louis yesterday for nothing? Austin Romine. Thank you. I kept wanting to say Andrew Kistner, but I knew it wasn't Andrew Kistner.
Yeah, I mean, they can learn a couple of things maybe from Mike Minor, but Mike Minor has never had the tools that those top three guys have had. So they can't relate to that. You know, it's a totally different pitching sequence, preparing to pitch, like, these guys throw 15 miles an hour harder than Mike Minor does. It's not the same.
That's valid. That's very valid. All right. So we did get this question from friend of the program, Jace, LA De La Cruz hype train conductor, or on Twitter as officially Jace. Also one of my wrestling talking buddies. So big fan of Jace on the socials. He asked Carlos, what types of third or fourth pitches do you want to see Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft begin to work on and add to their repertoire? Which do you think would be the most effective for them?
I'll start with Hunter Green. I think his changeup, he needs to throw it often, very, very often, because, you know, you can try to maybe work on it during the bullpens, which you're not throwing 100%. So that's a big difference. In the off season, there's not a batter in there, so it's so much different to throw and practice in a bullpen than it is in a game. Like, intensities are unmatched, and you learn how your pitch does based on how a hitter swings at it. You know, you have a game plan going up against a pitch against the hitter. You're like, okay, first pitch slider, he's usually going to stay away from it, so I'm going to throw a first pitch slider for a strike. Change-ups, he usually spits on them. But if you throw one and he swings at it and he misses it by, you know, a barrel or two, then you know, hey, I'm going to throw another one. I'm going to throw that scouting report out the window, and I'm going to double up on it right here because of that swing that he took. Maybe this was a good one. Let me repeat that same delivery and that same release point. You don't get that whenever you're throwing a bullpen. You might think it's a bad pitch, but in reality, it's right after following your fastball at that same location. It works really well against a right-handed hitter, and you can't find that whenever you're just throwing to the bullpen catcher, to a net, or anything like that. So I really hope that he starts to throw that a lot more. I don't care about the results. Nobody cares about the results right now. I think we can all agree on that. You know, we'd like for him to have a 2.2 ERA and whatever the hell. But if he finishes with a 6 or with a 5 and, you know, he's giving up 3-run jacks because he's experimenting with pitches, that's not going to bother me. I don't care. Nick Lodolo, I mean, I think that guy's – he's pretty polished. He just needs to tighten up on some things there and late in games and focus a little bit more, maybe add a little bit more of a cutter to his natural fastball. That would be nice, especially coming from a left-hander. Super effective on right-handed hitters. And then Ashcraft, I mean, as well as he's pitched, I think he probably has the longest way to go out of the three because he cannot hit a spot with a fastball. He cannot. Like, if you notice, these guys aren't setting up on the corners. They're setting up on thirds. And, you know, when they call a sinker, they don't know if it's going to sink 2 inches or 2 feet. He doesn't know that. And it's tough. Maybe he just, I don't know. When you throw that hard, that quick, it's just the smallest of adjustments for the ball to move that much. And also, these balls are not the same, you know. Was lucky enough whenever I went up there to Cincinnati to have a conversation with some folks, and these balls are all different. So that makes it really difficult on a pitcher to repeat the delivery, repeat the release point, have the same conviction. So Ashcraft, I would like for his fastball to become elite. Like, if you want to throw an up and away fastball, have conviction and knowing that you're going to throw an up and away fastball. If you want to run a cutter in on a left-handed hitter, know that that's what's going to happen. Not possibly it's going to sink and go on the outside corner, because that's how you're going to get guys to swing and miss. I think he's getting away with it right now, but people are going to start to figure that out, because 98, it's not – 98 is the new 92. These guys, everybody throws 98. Hitters are ready for it. But overall, I mean, these rookies, I think they've matched everybody's expectations, what we thought this year. Nobody has done super well. Nobody's going to win a Cy Young or anything like that. But they've had flashes of brilliance. They've struggled. They're going to probably continue to go up and down, up and down. And that's fine. This is what this year's for. But, you know, to go back to keep it simple to answer Chase's question, I'm sorry I went on and on and on, but I'd say change up for Hunter, cutter for Nick, and location for Graham for that fastball, because I don't think he's a strikeout pitcher, because he doesn't even have I don't think he has a good enough second pitch, you know, to get the swing and misses.
All right. So, upcoming schedule, as Nick mentioned, the Reds are going to be on national TV quite a bit coming up. So they are off tomorrow, but Friday they start the 3-game set in Milwaukee. And Friday they're on Apple TV Plus. Robert Duggar potentially getting the start after getting the International League Pitcher of the Week last week. against Eric Lauer. Nick Lodolo pitching Saturday on Fox against Aaron Ashby, and then Sunday on your regular Bally Sports programming with our good friend John Sadak. You get Hunter Green going against Corbin Burns in a place. So Hunter Green, like we mentioned earlier, really turned it around after having a rough start in Milwaukee earlier in the season. Then next week, they go on Monday, they go to New York to face the Mets. You've got Graham Ashcraft on Monday against Chris Bassett. Tuesday, you've got Mike Minor against Cookie, Carlos Carrasco. Both of those are on Bally. And then Wednesday, maybe Robert Ducker again against Taiwan Walker. That'll be on Bally and MLB Network. And then, of course, next Thursday is the Field of Dreams game against the Cubs. And right now, it looks like that's Nick Lodolo's turn in the rotation. So next week, I cannot wait before that day to have a show with you guys when we talk about baseball movies, because I got to get your thoughts on elite baseball films. And I have a hot take on Field of Dreams.
Nothing beats Fever Pitch.
Oh my gosh.
Moneyball? Fever Moneyball pitch. Is the elite of the elite.
Fever Pitch is the best. Not even close.
Major League is number one for me.
Nice. Yeah. But hey, everyone wants to see the Reds on national television. You're going to get that quite a bit this next week. So I kind of like the Apple TV Plus games. I'm a fan of them.
Yeah. I'm excited to get another game on Apple TV Plus. I think their broadcast has been really cool. And yeah, it's nice to, see the Reds, hear some different perspectives on the team. Sometimes you hear different stories and things like that. So it'll be cool.
How about John saying about Dunn? When is he coming up?
My next point. I actually watched a little bit of Justin Dunn today. Finally bit the bullet and got some MILB TV, at least for a month. He did not look great today. So I think Duggar's probably going to get a shot. Mark Sheldon reported earlier today that he thinks Duggar is the guy. And Duggar's been pitching well in AAA and, looked okay when he was up here. So I think I would rather, give Duggar a shot. Hopefully Dunn can get right. And I'd like to see Dunn and see what he's got. But I don't think you want to, just call up a guy that's not really – it's getting rocked by the Indianapolis Indians.
Is Duggar, is he a farm guy? Did we get him in a trade? Where did he come from?
He was recently by Tampa.
He was on Tampa's roster this year, so there's got to be something there.
Right?
We'd hope. So, yeah, the Reds got him on waivers. But he has also been DFA'd like twice by the Reds and not claimed. Yeah.
You see those opponents' pitchers, and they're like, all right, maybe we'll get a couple of hits here and there other than Burns, but
yeah, at least you're gonna miss Scherzer and
DeGrom. And DeGrom.
I mean,
that would be another fast game.
Yeah, don't put the DeGrom on next Wednesday night, or you'll be starting without me. We'll get the kids.
Yeah, we're trying to see what Barrero has. Quit throwing these damn Cy Youngs at us, can you please?
Kyle Farmer just sitting there taking tonight off, going.
How like, we need to get Barrero in the lineup. Who wants a rest day? Farmer's like, I got it.
How about the fact that John Sadak basically gets a 3-day weekend because of the off day and the televised games?
Good for John. I mean,
he's earned it.
The last several broadcasters that we've had, did 100 games a year, and John just out there every single night. So, but hey, back to back lefties to start the series in Milwaukee. So, that's I think a good opportunity for Barrero getting a shot at two lefties. And hey, the Reds, they're a much better team against lefties. What a 12-month turnaround. I mean, that feels significantly better about the Reds against lefties. So.
I almost wondered if Major League Baseball is going to ask the Reds to push Hunter Starpack to have him on the Field of Dreams game. Like, I almost wonder if they almost would have stepped in and been like, no, let's get him ready for that game so that way he'd be on national TV.
I think it's cool that a national audience get to see Nick Lodolo, though.
Oh, I did too, for sure.
I'm sure he has a lot less, name recognition nationally. So, hey, that's a game that Lodolo against the Cubs. I mean, that's a lineup that he could carve up and, kind of give himself one of those really, big performances on national TV that's probably going to be the sad as it is, probably still going to be like the top sports center highlight of the night. It's going to be the first block. So, that's kind of cool. Hopefully he can have a big start.
Yeah, because no one's going to be like, look what Matthew Stafford did at training camp today with this throw and SportsCenter highlights. So you hope
you,
not.
Don't you ever put that past SportsCenter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think they had a whole day on Saturday of training camps, like for 10 hours or something.
Oof, that sounds miserable. I understand people love football, but the last thing I care about is like throws they're making in shorts.
No comment.
Yeah. All right. So as we said, like a couple weeks ago when Nick put this up, August had the Reds have a total of like 8 home games the whole month. So the Field of Dreams game, the Reds are technically the home team, but still it's, you know, neutral site. Then they come back for the Cubs on Saturday and Sunday. Friday off day. Good for the boys. They earned it. And then our old friend Nick Castellanos will be in town for the Philly series in a couple weeks before the Reds go to do their Pennsylvania Euro road trip. Man, that Nationals team, that's going to look a little bit different when we go there.
Fun series.
Tim, you going to those Pittsburgh games? I know you are.
Not there.
You're missing out. It's a beautiful stadium.
It can be as beautiful as it wants. It's still in Pittsburgh. Aye, aye, aye. Yeah. And then, yeah, so fun August coming up. Some pretty winnable games, even with the trades. So, yeah. I'm really excited that Luis Castillo made his first start today in the cool Mariners uniforms. This like navy blue ones with the green lettering. Those are my favorite. That was the Griffey jersey I had as a kid. So it looked pretty good.
Had a great day today.
They did, didn't they? Winker Castillo, homered, Suarez cool. homered.
Drury homered.
Yeah.
Castellanos homered.
Yeah, it was like his first one of what, 30 games?
Carlos is having a good day. I mean, yeah. Shit.
Should we reach out our old friend Ryan for that Philly series? Should we see if he wants to come hang out?
Well, that'd be a bad call. Only if he brings a smoke machine.
That's got to be back.
Yeah, that's got to be back. Well, you know, before we get out of here, we did want to touch on, obviously, the baseball world. I got the news yesterday of Vin Scully's passing. And, you know, to me, this was kind of the voice of baseball. I mean, it was at least majority of my life. Obviously, you know, everyone's got amazing Vin Scully stories that's been in the game talking about stuff. But, like, for me, my first Vin Scully memories were actually the old MLB video games. MLB 99, he was the play-by-play guy in the game. And so, like, I, you know, as a kid, I just watched the Reds and I saw Griffey highlights. So I didn't see, like, Dodger games as much or national TV games because the Reds weren't on TV, national TV at the time, a whole lot. So, but Vin was always one of those things when, like, you'd be watching MLB Network and the Dodgers would come on. And they would come on, like, in the middle of, like, the inning or, like, an at-bat. And he's by himself just telling this amazing story about, you know, like Kirk Gibson and the 86 Dodgers and stuff like that. And you're like hooked on every single word he's saying just because he was an amazing storyteller. So this is definitely a bummer. You know, obviously an unbelievable career. I mean, followed the Dodgers from Brooklyn to Los Angeles and made a hell of a name for himself throughout the baseball world. So I know this is one that kind of stings for us diehard baseball fans today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely stings. He was the voice for us, probably for our dads, and even beyond that. I mean, that was a tough one last night. I mean, you just listen to his voice and it's just like you get lost in it.
Yeah, you do.
It's amazing. Like they're going to teach how to be, you know, a broadcaster, announcer based off of his film, off of his broadcast. They're going to be like, you know, call the shot, give it a long pause, let the fans have their moment, play that, then you come in and you say something here, and like, don't make it about yourself, because he never did that. Like, you know, as Reds fans, we know that there's been radio broadcasts that make everything about themselves. Then he's never even once been thought about to do that. Like, everybody loves Vin Scully, everybody loved him. Sucks. I mean, you know, Nick sent that one out with, you know, the game that Joey, you know, homered in, and I think there was another highlight in there, but it's still like I save that to my phone because I'm gonna listen to that often. You know, it's who knows when we'll ever get something like that again. Very, very special. Rest in peace, Vin.
Yeah, he's just the best. You know, I remember when I got MLB TV for the first time, I would fall asleep to Dodgers games. I didn't care about the Dodgers, but he was just so good. And then, you know, every time the Reds play, I would watch the Dodgers broadcast. And the one nice thing about, you know, living outside of Cincinnati, you have that option. And I watched the Reds every single night, and he would tell stories about players that I've never heard. Like, it was insane how much research and how prepared he was, even at his age, that he could relay these stories that diehard baseball fans had never heard. And so, yeah, just the absolute best. And, you know, a lot of times when someone passes, you know, people can go a little overboard. Not with Vin Scully. I mean, the outpouring that you saw today was the absolute 100% needed. And yeah, just the absolute best. So rest in peace, Vin.
I think my all-time favorite as far as like Reds, Dodgers, Vin Scully moment, I don't necessarily remember the exact game, but you know how like his delivery was never just like super high or super low. It just kind of talked like we're talking now. And I remember there were like Todd Frazier was batting. He's like, all right. He's like, you know, it's a 2-1 pitch and that's a ball, you know, 3-1 pitch. There's a strike. He's like, and here comes the sixth pitch of the at bat, and down goes Frazier. And just nonchalantly, just like that, like recreates the boxing moment, but just in Vin Scully style. And I was like, excellent. Just perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that being said, I don't know, are people sick of us this week? We had like 3 really long shows, so.
6 and 8 days, baby.
Yeah, we did a lot this past few days, so.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Exciting trade deadline.
Yeah. Thanks for everyone for hanging out with us through these 6 and 8 days. Like, this was awesome. We really enjoyed this. I know, you know, obviously it's a crazy trade deadline season, but we're definitely grateful you all hung out with us. Thanks to Jules for coming on and hanging out with us today. Thanks for Clay for being available as much as possible over the last week.
Thanks for the hat, Clay.
Yeah, I have mine too. I was going to wear it. I'm glad I didn't. That would have looked goofy. But yeah, as always, thanks to Sydney. She's here each and every week. We're definitely grateful. Be sure to, as always, go to Bet Online. Use that promo code BELIEF50. Get that 50% welcome bonus. And thank you all for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.